It's time to get brutally honest.
Now that he got his own commercial, stealing our money.
I think we should have had an opportunity at that.
Well, what do you think? A kid on TV watching your fat ass go into a store and buy skates?
Probably wouldn't do much for the product.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Heading back to the alumni box tonight, gentlemen.
How are you?
Wondering what kind of numbers are pushing it for the abuse.
Of what, just showing up there every day?
Well, there's been two home games?
This is the third home game tonight.
Okay, but there's...
Second or third?
Third. They played Saturday and Monday at home, and now tonight.
So two of the three, is that greasy?
Well, put it this
way. Let's just say for a while I can't go back in.
But if you went and saw the same faces there, those are the guys who are taking advantage of it. So,
oh, I see some faces in there.
Well, then put it that way. Those are the guys taking advantage of it. Are you wearing your alumni coat?
I'm not going to tonight.
Really?
Why not?
Well, I'm cash today, and I have to... They changed the game time to 7 every game, which ultimately screws us.
But tonight's 7:30. I'm pretty sure tonight is 7:30.
All their home games are 7.
I'm telling you, I thought the same thing. I looked it up before we came on.
Brian, they changed all of their home games to 7.
Okay.
Well, if he says 7:30...
It's a 7:30 game tonight.
No, it isn't.
I'm telling you.
Okay, how much... Without looking at the internet, how much you want to bet?
I'll bet $5.2 billion. Do you know what number that means?
I'll bet you $7 billion. They changed all of their home games to 7.
He's already suggesting there's another company involved.
Right. When you pay $5.2 billion and you want a game at 7:30, guess what time the game is going to be at?
Oh, it is.
It's 7:30 tonight.
But I thought the Toronto Maple Leafs...
I got that impression as well. I guess the majority of the weekday home games are going to be at 7.
Regardless, I'm going to the alum box tonight as a former Toronto Maple Leaf. Should I take a good month off at least?
No.
I think so.
You sell the game for them too. Like you actually... I know you only played, what, 2 years here?
2 years.
But, so that gives you enough, because you got 100 games in at least, right?
Yeah.
And every day, your face is out there. You talk about their team. You're good for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I got to be honest, I think if you want to go to two of every three games, and that's the pace you're on right now.
You know that I don't go that much, but the problem is...
Oh, you think it's greasy.
I've got myself in a situation where I live across the street from the rink, so I'm like...
I think at some point in your tenure with the Leafs, you had to have a letter on your jersey to go 2 out of 3.
Really?
I think
Dude,
you had to be...
That's a rude comment.
I think you had to be a truly established letter on the jersey type of guy.
Wow. So you're thinking...
Although I've been up there multiple times, and I never stepped foot on the ice, so who the hell am I kidding?
And you
I'm a little upset that you think that I'm abusing my privilege right
and
now.
And you went back
Get the poll out. Is 2 or 3 times too much?
Yeah, could
Just right, or I don't know.
I think it's just right. The temperature of the team right now, how excited
we
you gotta
guys are? We got to also consider, if they win, I got to go to the next one.
I'm telling you, man, that alumni box, when Peter Horacek was behind the bench...
It was a ghost town.
There were...
You could have stuffed your face with chicken penne pasta till the cows came
I could have showed up and they would have pretended I was a Maple Leaf alum because they're like, no one else is showing up for this garbage.
Like, Brian Hayes, Barry Colts, welcome to the box.
They would have treated me like one of their own. But now that they're an exciting team, they're 3-0.
Fast track to...
What do you think would happen if they got an emergency email...
Dude,
from every living member of Legends Row.
I was just going to say to you, back in Horacek time, it was Lonnie Bahanas, Jeff O'Neill, just the skids.
Aki Berg kicking around.
Aki Berg in there. Now it's Sittler, Clark, Tucker.
Like Mahovlich is running around. That's what I'm saying. Like, what
Johnny
happens?
Bauer.
If Gilmore calls up and says, you know what, I'm actually going to be in town, I want to show up, and they're like, we got to tell an alum that he can't come.
If you guys ever see me in here in an all-black suit, it's because I sent an email and they said, no guy, the big boys are coming in.
Wow.
Can you imagine getting the no guy? Actually, Dougie's in town, Wendell's coming up, Sittler's here, Tucker.
Tux is rolling in, McCabe. Out of town. Yeah.
Ass face is in here.
Lanny flew in with the stash. Yeah.
Wasn't Lanny there for one of...
Lanny was there, and he was having himself a great time.
Lanny's the best.
I'll tell you
what. He has got a set of mitts on him.
You rip your arm right off.
Did you see the size of his hands?
I was in Calgary with Lanny McDonald as far as when he was just finishing up in management and as an ambassador for the Flames. He's around all the time. I don't know of a nicer guy. Like... so friendly, has nothing but time for everyone, loves the game of hockey, passionate, very outgoing. I'm surprised. And Lanny's done very well for himself away from hockey. He's involved in Calgary in big business and is very, very successful. But he's a guy I think was kind of early on the fast track to maybe getting involved in management. And I think the Flames went a different way and he kind of stepped away from it. But he's involved with the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like he's a bright guy, but I love spending time with him. And his mitts, it's like five bananas. You're going to shake that type of hand. It's huge. But he's not a big guy.
No, he's not the biggest guy, but recognizable.
So let's just go back to the big point. Two or three, you got to take a month off.
No.
I think you got to take a little bit of time, but...
depends on how many home games in that month.
There's a bunch. They've got a bunch of home games early in the year.
Very favorable early on. I don't know if we've really talked about that.
Well, they got Jersey tonight, which is interesting because Jersey's off to a good start. They've won a couple of games. They haven't been beating world beater teams.
Right.
They beat Buffalo the other day.
Yeah.
But now everyone's like, oh, the Devils are this year's Maple Leafs or this year's Columbus, the team that will shock the world.
But
I think you kind of got to pump the brakes. Let's be honest. The Leafs should win tonight.
The Leafs
play their A game, and Corey Schneider doesn't stand on his head. There's no reason why the Leafs can't walk out of that building with a 4-0 record.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually predicting a blowout.
You think the Leafs will smoke them tonight?
I really do.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. You know how I get a vibe? I make predictions when I think I got a feeling? I think they will blow them out. That's my initial thought to this game. It could fall on my face, it could be a trap game, and they could lose.
But I
really think it's going to be a blowout.
I wouldn't be far off on that, and I don't sense that this team... like, I sense they, as I tried to say yesterday, too, I think after the first period, the Leafs realized, we're a damn good team here. And I think beating Chicago the way that they did showed themselves, not the rest of the league, themselves, like, hey, we got something going on here.
Yeah, we're good.
So to call on that... night in and night out, they'll figure out how to do it.
And you're an old school guy, Jamie.
Yes.
And I've also, in my prediction here, thought about New Jersey, not that fun. Just went to Buffalo, not that fun. Day and a half in Toronto, who in the hell knows what you get up to?
Yeah.
Because I know being a Carolina Hurricane, when I came to Toronto for multiple days.
Yeah.
You're trying to be cool for a couple days.
We had our rookie dinner here one time. I don't even remember the bar. Now that I know Toronto, I can't remember that. It was like the bank or some sort of bank or... it was like it seemed like a giant bank. All I remember is my goalie partner was in tough, tough shape.
We had a night at a place that we went to one time, the Croc Rock?
You went to the Croc Rock?
Oh my God. It was tough sledding to the bus the next day.
When you were with Carolina?
Oh yeah, the Croc Rock.
The Croc's got a weird reputation. It's a cougar bar, generally speaking.
Really?
But
no, and firemen, too. I think it's firemen cops.
Like, yeah, they do Wednesday night or something. They call it like 9-1-1 night or 9-11 night
on
or something
Wednesdays?
Like that. Yeah, I think it's Wednesday nights.
Yes.
And a lot of the boys in blue, they roll in there, and they're ready for a good time because they're not on the clock within the next 24 hours. But I've often wondered that about Toronto. Like, you know, Leaf players that go out in Toronto, everyone knows who they are. I'm sure they get bugged all the time.
Can't even be fun.
It can't be fun, and especially considering, like, we amp it up, like bar play, like women are sitting there waiting to talk to them. The reality is it's all guys who can't wait to pull them aside and be like, hey, I was at the game tonight, and he's in, like, a Matthews jersey, and he's got him cornered at some place on King. But other teams' players, I don't know. Like, what's the bar play like for visiting players in Toronto?
Well, that's what is the crazy thing about it, because I remember going to a game once as a spectator. I was playing with Carolina, and I went to a bar in Yorkville after, and I was sitting in there, and Wade Belak, one of my good friends, walked in, and he just started getting, you know, hey, there was Wade. I'm like, God, that guy's the fourth line right winger on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm a pretty good player in Carolina, and nobody even care or knows who the hell I am.
Right.
So it's like Nico Hischier. If he goes out, and I don't think anybody would recognize
nobody
him.
Nobody would recognize him.
Taylor Hall's got a shot.
I don't think I would recognize Nico Hischier.
Could walk
I
wouldn't through either. This room, but they're so young, and they're new in the league. Taylor Hall is a recognizable
Taylor
face.
Taylor Hall why, and Corey though? Schneider, I would...
But do you know why? Taylor Hall played in Edmonton. Canadian market. First overall pick, like, you know that face. Corey Schneider played in Vancouver. He's an outgoing guy. He's been involved in the PA. He did all those skits and stuff.
If you put a lineup of 10 guys and said, which one's Andy Green? I'd be like, no idea.
And Andy Green's been in the league 12 years.
Yeah, I have no idea who Andy Green is.
I'm not kidding you. I don't know if I could pick off their head coach.
Yeah, you could, because he's got a bald salad.
Yeah.
Johnny Hines?
Yeah.
I probably would.
And he's a good guy, too.
Well, he may be the greatest guy in the world. That doesn't mean he's a recognizable face. See, this is just proving my point about the irrelevance of the New Jersey Devils.
You know what?
Buddy, we like to cheer people and everything, but it's a little rude to say they're the most irrelevant franchise.
Who is less relevant than them?
The Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Well, but that's in baseball, though.
Is it Cleveland Browns?
No, because they're in the NFL. Nothing in the NFL is irrelevant. I'm talking the National Hockey League, like an expansion team, and full credit to Vegas and what went down last night.
Exactly. We got to get into that.
Incredible to see. They brought out survivors and the first responders.
That was the best pregame ceremony I've ever
seen.
Derek
Englund brilliantly done. Is my first star, even if we're doing it. To do that speech.
And how about the goal he scores, too?
I know.
He snipes a goal.
He is not a goal scorer.
No.
That is not Bobby Orr on the point.
But did you see how, like, I was watching him in that speech. We watch it live, and like his hands were shaking a little bit because he was that emotional about it.
Yeah.
That was so tough.
That's a good word, Jamie, because I don't think he was nervous. I think he was emotional.
He was emotional. Like you're speaking on behalf of your brand new organization to people who, like, the hell with sports. Those people that were on the ice lived hell or came out the other side from hell, and people didn't. Other, you know, 58 people died.
I knock on wood.
Couldn't imagine.
Because Toronto's never experienced anything to that extent.
Knock on wood,
yes. You knock on wood. I couldn't imagine that happening to my city. I could not imagine what that would be like, because Vegas is a very transient city. Like, a lot of the people that passed away were from California or Canada.
They've flown in, yes.
Yeah, they're not necessarily from Vegas, but there were a lot of people that actually were.
Yeah.
And it's not even about where the people that died are actually from. It's just that it happened in your backyard. It's one of those scenes where if you're from Vegas, I'm sure you've driven past Mandalay Bay dozens and dozens
of
times.
Next time I go to Vegas, when I'm on the Strip, you won't be able to look at Mandalay Bay the same.
No chance.
If you're on the street looking up, you're going to be like, there's the 32nd floor. Oh, this is where it happened. I mean, I go to Dallas. I don't know if you never got into
it. It's the grassy knoll. It's the book depository.
I would walk the grassy knoll because we used to, when
I did
to
too.
Play
Everyone
the
did. All the guys would have breakfast or like, let's go to the grassy knoll.
But like, you think of stuff that has happened. You go to New York, you go to where 9/11. You go to the site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I lived in New York. I had friends. Like, I had a financial guy who passed away in that. Like, it was horrible. It was, but that's the thing. These tragedies that have happened in the world. Last night, I couldn't stop thinking about how emotional that would have been for, especially Englund, because they don't have a captain, but he's deemed
kind
as a local guy.
Yeah.
Hats off to them.
I'll tell you what I was thinking about today, Jamie. Like, how cool would it be and you lived and played in some big markets, but I played in Carolina, and we had to drive to Greensboro.
Yeah.
And me and Jeff Daniels, my teammate, we would meet at Edwards Mill Bar and Grill and have a burger back in Raleigh. Can you imagine tapping one of the guys on the shoulder saying, do you want to go to, I don't know, what are some of the good
where like
night spots in Vegas? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, we got a day off tomorrow. We just won. Can you want to go? Like, you're not going to Edwards Mill Bar and Grill.
Yeah, you and Harry Dunn are going for a burger.
You're meeting at Club Light in the Bellagio or something. Yeah. Or Marquee or, like, you are. But that's the thing, the beauty of Vegas. And I know, Hayes, you're very skeptical of Vegas. But, I mean, think about it. The Maple Leafs are playing in there New Year's Eve, correct?
They're there New Year's Eve, yep.
I guarantee
you. Is that our game?
I don't know. I don't think so.
But it's a Sunday
afternoon.
It's a Sunday. But how many people are going for it? I bet you there'll be, especially with how good the team is right
we
now.
We should be there.
It would be outstanding to be there. You're doing the World Juniors.
The whole weekend, The whole weekend in Vegas.
Well, like, listen,
I guarantee you.
I want to see it work now because I have such a different connection to Vegas because of what happened.
Yeah.
And it's a great story. Now they're 3-0 out of the gate. And they're scoring goals. And they're
not
beating
embarrassing
teams.
Themselves.
No, I mean, they're playing well. I mean, I still don't think they're a playoff team. I feel like at some point this year they're probably going to lose like 13 games in a row and then come back to earth.
The dust will settle.
But I just don't trust those southern markets when it comes to this sport. I don't.
Right.
And another part of me...
Well, speaking of Carolina, I think their attendance last...
They had like 7,800 people there. Like, it's a disaster.
They announced 7,000.
Which means there was probably 3,500.
Yeah, half of that or five maybe.
And really,
passes in the seats.
The point I've always made about this is I would rather see a team come up here. And I'd rather see a team in Quebec City, a second team in Toronto. I would much prefer to supply...
Full buildings.
Long-term hockey fans with a team that I know they would support.
Yeah.
But it's done now.
That's,
I mean, Vegas has a new team. How about, what's his name? Mark Davis showing up, the owner of the Raiders. Did you see him in his white pants and his Lloyd
mullet?
Christmas
he is,
salad right behind
him? He's a cartoon character. He really is.
Well, I was thinking about this because I read it yesterday that someone had paid like $7,500 for a pair of tickets right on the glass. And that is the sign of an amateur fan, because the seats on the glass are brutal. You get bad sight lines. A lot of times you can't see the whole ice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like courtside seats in the NBA, where there's nothing better than that in pro sports.
So somebody, some bigwig goes, I need front row.
I need right front row on the glass, and he's probably right beside the bench. He can't see half the ice.
But maybe he's the glass pounder. How many people, that's the most annoying thing in sports, isn't it? The guy who bangs on the glass?
And that is exclusively a hockey
like just
situation.
The guy banging on the glass for no reason, just banging on there.
If you're sitting around that guy, you just honestly want to tap him on the shoulder and say, please stop or leave, or next time you're here, give me a flyer, give me a heads up so I won't be here.
Although my favorite fan of all time, do you remember when Adam Party, was it in Chicago, where his bucket went off and that guy was so greased in the corner?
That was Winnipeg. That was the Jets fan.
But was it in Winnipeg?
That was in Chicago.
No, I thought it was
it in Chicago? Okay. It was against Winnipeg,
yes,
though, wasn't it?
He reached down and ripped the helmet off and then hammered a beer. And then that man was told to leave.
He was crushed.
Everyone's seen that face in the mirror at like 3 in the morning after one of their biggest nights. And they're like, I can't believe I looked like this. That guy looked like that on national TV.
Stealing a guy's helmet.
In like the second period.
His face was on sideways. He was
but don't you think if you're having like a dinner party, you would say, look what I did a couple years ago. Like, this is me.
Well,
don't you think that would be funny?
I want people to send us pictures of that goon. Because I think it was in Chicago.
It was Adam
Party's helmet.
I think you're right.
And the glass kind of popped through, and he reached through and grabbed
it. Better yet, we got to get that guy on the show.
I think he was on a date, too. I think he was with a woman. Like, it looked like early in the relationship, too, and she wanted nothing to do with this guy.
Check, please. Get me out of here.
Brian texting and saying, 21 of us are heading down to Vegas on New Year's Eve.
I'm telling you, the best thing, you just talked about it.
Do we have the game on radio?
Scheduling. Hayes, you just talked about scheduling this year, where you thought the Leafs did a really good job of head-to-head in Winnipeg. You had Edmonton, Calgary. Leafs, New Year's Eve, they had to know that's a draw.
I would think Vegas probably said, we've paid $500 million to get into the game.
Right.
Make sure that weekend we get one of the big boys.
Absolutely.
Get, you got to have a big fan base. You've got to have a city that's got money.
Yeah.
And Toronto that's checks off both
absolutely
boxes.
So 21 guys going down. I guarantee you that whole building will be Leafs fans. Which would be very neat.
I don't know. They seemed to show up last night. I mean, I think they've sold a lot of tickets, and
it's exciting. I was happy for
them. That was a great night, man.
I hope it works like this season. I have no reason. I don't want it to fail. I'm not saying I have anything against Vegas. I just don't.
3 years in or 5 years in,
and it's not directed towards the city or the fans. It's directed towards Bettman and the other owners. Yeah. Like, stop going to places like Arizona and Carolina and Florida and Vegas. They don't work. I think you end up getting embarrassed in the end. And there are teams up here in Canada that are dying for a team. Ray's coming up. Norman Powell will join us.
In studio?
No, he's going to call in about 10 minutes. They beat the Pistons last night. They've got one more preseason game, and then they get going. And their first-round pick made his debut last night. And Dwayne Casey had some interesting comments post-game. We'll play them, we'll react to them, and we'll catch up with Norman Powell next. All right, race coming up. Darren Dreger in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Steve Phillips, we got to get into this Steven Strasburg story. Turns out he's going to pitch, but yesterday he originally told the Nationals he's not going to go. He can't go because he was under the weather.
What?
You got to hear the details. We'll get into the details quickly. Norman Powell is going to call in. We'll ask Norman how he would handle this situation of a teammate.
He went for Bada?
He was this close to going for Bada. He essentially got almost like bullied into just accepting that he's got to pitch. I'll tell you about it. We'll get into it in 2 minutes. All right, so Norman Powell, hoping to catch up with him momentarily. I'll let you hear what Dwayne Casey had to say about OJ Anunoby last night after he made his preseason debut. But quickly, we're going to get into this later in the afternoon. But as we know, the Cubs are up 2-1 against the Nationals. They have a chance to close it out. Game 4 this afternoon at Wrigley. And because of the rainout yesterday, this was going to set up Steven Strasburg on regular rest to pitch today. And he pitched a bullpen session on Monday. But yesterday, I guess he went to Dusty Baker and said, I'm not going. I can't go. I'm under the weather. On Tuesday.
How? By the way. How could you go to somebody and say, I'm under the weather when it's the game's tomorrow?
Exactly. Exactly. This is a guy who they just gave $175 million to. He has been the best pitcher in baseball the past month and a half. His numbers are unbelievable. He was just all over the Cubs in game one. He pitched great.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm under the weather. I can't go. Something happened over the past 18 to 20 hours because now he's going.
Yeah,
and my guess would be he either jumped on Twitter and said, I'm never going to be able to step foot back in D.C. if I bail on this game, or a teammate grabbed him and said, are you crazy?
Yeah, they took him into the shower and gave him a code red. Like, they put a bunch of
baseballs in. Well, guess who was supposed to pitch instead of Strasburg?
Tanner Roark.
And we know all about him.
Keith Hernandez, his favorite. Tanner Roark.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
From that standpoint, I kind of wanted to see Roark go.
Me too. I wanted to see him get his tits lit.
That's hilarious.
So it turns out Strasburg's going to go, but could you imagine being in that room?
Well, we got to get the details.
Under the weather. That was it. Under the weather. That's all was... That's what was expressed to the media.
Somebody put a bunch of baseballs in like a pillowcase. And beat the hell out of him.
Jamie, how embarrassing is it to have to tell one of your teammates, are you serious? Like, you're under the weather? You can't play? I saw it. Verbata. He was like, guys, a little bit of a chest cold. It's creeping in here. I can't play tonight. I looked at him and I go, what are you talking about?
That's bad enough. That's the regular season. This is game 4 of the NLDS. He just got paid $175 million.
Doesn't smell right.
All right, let's bring in another guy who just got paid.
Yes.
And who's a current athlete. We'll get his reaction to this story out of D.C. and how he would respond to one of his teammates saying, I got the sniffles, I can't go. Here's Norman Powell. What's happening, Norm?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
We're doing well. How would you react if you were in that situation? You guys were going into an elimination game in the playoffs, and one of your teammates said, I can't go because I have the sniffles.
I would have a problem.
Yeah, it's not even. It's not even you can't go. It's can't. You can't go 2 days from now.
Right, the day before he made the announcement. Like what? Right. What would happen in that situation? Would you have a players only meeting? How could you even handle a situation like that?
I mean, you just have to sit down and talk to him. You know, I don't think you have a players only meeting, but I mean, I don't know. This says a lot. I mean, me personally, I play through anything. So being sick, whatever it is, I'd expect, especially like my teammates, to do the same, especially on a big game.
I would have one meeting, and it's with the GM in my exit meeting. I would be like, that guy's got to leave the locker room. I don't care how talented he is. How can you keep a guy here that doesn't want to play in the biggest game of the year?
Yeah, it's a good thing I don't know how to make those decisions.
Yeah, no kidding. That's on the GM.
Exactly.
So you just signed your extension earlier in the week. You're getting paid. You got some security. How will that kind of money and cash change your life?
I think it changed it for the better. Helps my family out a lot. Especially being secure and, you know, not having to worry about what's going to happen. You know, I think it locks me in, guaranteed money, and I don't have to worry about it. And I can just focus on basketball and knowing that my family and my future is taken care of.
Well, there was the thought maybe that you would play out the year and then potentially cash in even more. How much thought did you put in, you know, pushing aside the contract extension and playing the season out?
I mean, that was my first intentions. You know, I didn't think or have the idea that, you know, I was going to be given an extension. You know, I didn't think it would happen. My whole thought process was just going into the season, doing what I had to do, taking care of business, hoping the team win, and then figuring it all out when that time came. But, you know, when the extension was put on the table, you know, you definitely got to think about that and, like, how it plays out from there, whether you want to take it, whether you don't, and how it affects the team. And going forward, there's so many variables. But I thought it was the right choice for me to take, especially when that much money's on the table.
With Norman Powell here on Overdrive, I think the biggest battle in camp is who's going to start in that three position. We know that Kyle's going to be a part of the starting lineup, DeMar, Serge, more than likely JV. But you're kind of in a battle right now with CJ Miles. How important would it be for you to actually start games and be a part of that starting five?
I think it's really important, you know, but I think, honestly, this season there's probably going to be a lot of mix-ups with the starting lineup with me and CJ, just based on the matchups and what we need on any given night. I think, you know, me and him provide different things for that starting unit. You know, me as an extra ball handler, creator off the dribble, takes pressure off of Colin DeMar to have to make plays. And then having CJ in the starting lineup helps them by creating space on the floor. You know, he's a knockdown three-point shooter, so it helps them in defenses not being able to double-team them because he's just able to hit the open three consistently. So I think it's going to be a year of up and down. I'm going to be coming off the bench. I'm going to be starting. You know, there's no set lock on who's going to be starting, but you know, I think everybody wants to start in the league. So, you know, if I get to start and nod, opening night, you know, I'm going to be happy about it and go out there and do my job. And if he gets it, same thing. You know, it's all about what's best for the team.
You look at your group, and it's such a long season. There's so much travel. And how were the guys receptive to heading off to Hawaii for training camp? And it's a long ways to go, but it's obviously an amazing place on earth. How did things go over there?
It went really well. You know, a lot of guys were, you know, a little bummed with the travel. You know, it's a lot. It's a five-hour flight, especially flying from Toronto to Victoria, from Victoria to Hawaii. But, you know, it was a great trip. You know, I thought the guys really bonded. I thought we had a great time in Hawaii. I thought we learned a lot in those first two games for preseason. You know, guys were excited. You know, you see everybody bring out their family and, you know, the guys who just had newborn kids, you know, brought them out. And you know, it was a good vibe out there. You know, I brought my family out. My grandma, my aunt, my mom, and my sisters came with their husband and fiance. So it was great. It was a great overall experience.
With Norman Powell, how do you juggle between getting to work, realizing it's camp? You know, you've got a shorter camp this year than years past. The season's right around the corner. but you're also in Hawaii, and you're going to have some downtime. I mean, how do you juggle the two and try to achieve both work and also play when you're in Hawaii?
I mean, I think that's the thing, you know. With it being preseason, you know, you're able to relax a little bit, but know that you're still there for business. You know, I think all year you have to deal with that, you know, balancing when it's time to, you know, take a break from it, like reset your mind and go to work and handle business. I thought Hawaii gave us a little bit of both, you know. It gave us some freedom, gave us some time to relax, but we all knew it was a business trip going in there. You know, being in Victoria really set, like, the tone and set what we were trying to do for this preseason. You know, it's, we have 5 games, 1 more game until, you know, things start getting rolling for real. So I thought it was a good trip of both, being able to relax a little bit from off summer and working out, getting ready and preparing for training camp, and being able to relax a little bit in Hawaii, and then, you know, still handle basketball. I think it's like the best of both worlds.
With Norman Powell, there's been so much focus on the anthems in the States, and specifically with the NFL. And we know that with the NBA, Adam Silver, the commissioner, sent out a memo to all the teams last week saying, hey, the players, they have to stand. Have you guys discussed what's going to happen during the anthem? Do you guys have anything planned? What can you tell us about that?
I mean, we have open discussions about what we're going to do. Right now we're locking arms during the anthem and standing together as a unit to unite. But I think what this organization has done is given us the platform to be able to voice our opinion, you know, and voice how we feel about the different things that are going on in the United States and how we feel, and, you know, not be able to be punished for having our own opinion, you know, voicing how we feel about these different topics of injustice. I think that's one thing that the organization has done. We've done that for preseason. I'm sure that we're going to have a talk about what we're going to do for opening night and how we're going to approach it in the right way and having what we want viewed. You know, we don't want an action to take away from what we're trying to get out there. You know, we don't want, you know, like in the NFL, the kneeling to be the main focus rather than what he's trying to bring to light. You know, we don't want our action to take away from the actual injustice going on. So I think we're going to handle it in a professional and in the right manner.
Is it something that you will approach Casey and Masai with, or will you just take it upon yourselves as players to go about doing whatever you think is right?
One thing that we've done, we've always involved everybody from last year when the unarmed killings of Trayvon Martin and all that took place. You know, we've had an open discussion as an organization about how we feel about what's going on. You know, it's never been just the players. You know, this organization has done a great job of making everybody feel as a family, and that's how we approach it. You know, it's not singling out one person. We're a unit, we're a family, and we do it together.
He is Norman Powell. He's got a new deal. The Raptors season right around the corner. I know the city's buzzing. We're looking forward to it. Best of luck this year. Congrats on the deal, and we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you.
Thank you, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Here he is, Norman Powell. Well, we'll
friend
see.
Of the show.
Friend of the show. I like Norman.
He's got more money than all of us combined.
Well, I'll tell you what. You go to Hawaii for training camp. He's lucky he brought his family.
I like that. Like, he ran. He's like my grandma, my sisters, my brother-in-law.
He
they
ran
all
through the
up.
Gauntlet, because if he was like, yeah, I went by myself, didn't make it home for curfew very much, then you know how things would roll.
Oh, yeah. You bring the family out to almost keep yourself honest.
Absolutely.
In a way. We'll let you hear what Dwayne Casey had to say about OG last night, making his debut. Obviously, he was picked 23rd overall, but Casey not necessarily buying that draft slot, considering his talents and the way he played last night. We'll get into that later this afternoon. Race coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, race coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.
We'll ask Ray about the alumni box. What's abuse? What's normal?
I think you're normal, but if you start to become a fixture there, like one of those guys who's just there every time.
I just don't want to be the guy where other alumni comes in and they're like, guarantee O'Neal's going to be in here. You watch. And you walk in and I'm there.
Well,
you don't want to be that guy.
But
you
do
not want to overstay your welcome.
Here's the thing, though. You sell the game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm going to come back to
you. Yeah, but they don't give a rat's ass.
They're not selling tickets in this box, though. It's not like you're not doing them a service.
They don't care that I like the team or played for the team. I think
everyone likes the team. You guys played for the team. Anyone that's in there played for the team.
Yeah.
You all like the team.
Can you imagine if our buddy Chicken Penne Pesto guy gave me the tap saying, you might want to.
You're really stretching it.
No, but you know what
you're really stretching it.
Say, hey. Stay in your lane because there is video here, and we'll go back on what you've been up to.
We've witnessed you
one time
stepping over the line, a habitual line stepper.
What was it? An egg roll? Not an egg roll.
No, it was a spring roll.
Spring roll,
the size of an iPhone 8, and this guy buried it in one bite.
He had like a cobra's jaw.
This guy could eat an alligator, and it would just be sitting in his barrel. This guy could take down a moose in one bite. He just dislocates his jaw, and it's on.
All right, let's move on.
You guys see this pickle juice craze because of this Blake Coleman kid down in Jersey?
Well, there you go. Maybe that's how Jersey is winning. They've got some sort of formula behind the scenes.
I'll be honest, I would drink almost anything if it's in shot form. Like, with the exception of, like, urine or something stupid like that. But if you tell me this is borderline healthy, if it's a shot, I'll do it. But, like, sipping on it or drinking it constantly, that's a hard no guy.
Well, they brought it to him in the penalty box.
Where's the science behind this, too? Like, who convinced this guy? Dr. Nick?
You know what it is? There's always something.
There's always something.
There's always going to be something. Hey, try this. Do you know that when I played in St. Louis, this is a long time ago because it's late 90s, guys on the team were drinking this Ultimate Orange.
I was too.
Like it was. Like it was.
Because you thought it was supposed to give you this big energy boost. And every time after I woke up from a pregame nap, I would make this Ultimate Orange thing.
And
if I had a good game, I'd be like, man, that Ultimate Orange
is good.
It,
guys are, like, if you look back, it's banned.
Yeah, it's illegal.
You could have, like, stroked out people.
Baseball had, like, a serious amphetamine issue for years. Guys were popping pills every day.
I know guys who would take 10 Sudafeds before a game. 10.
10.
Plus coffee.
Plus coffees and
Sudafeds.
And, like, drinking Cokes.
Okay, I would take 2 Sudafeds and a couple of coffees, but 10?
Well, you know
who
what
does that?
They're all sniffing salts now. Like that's
they love the smelling salts.
The ammonia. I used to do that. The ammonia salts. Every TV timeout, the trainer would have one for me.
I would sniff that like a something else that you know what I mean.
Sniffing smelling salt to get you fired up for the game?
It just, for me, I always had bad nasal passages.
I don't believe it actually does anything.
I don't either.
I think it's all psychological.
If you actually
you know what it is? It's routine. You sniff it and you're like,
yeah, but you.
I would literally do up my helmet, and as soon as I did it up, the trainer would have the smelling salt right in front of my nose. It was like routine. I would just grab it, snap it.
Yeah.
And you would just.
But it does.
The years go on. Like when you're a kid, you're like, whoa, and then when you're 30, you're like.
You're taking a drag on it.
You're like Dolphins assistant coach.
Exactly. Like you were taking a drag on it.
Oh,
like it
is, you would have a haul on that.
Just a seasoned vet.
But that's the thing. Can you imagine the damage that it's done?
To your nostrils?
The nostrils, the brain cells.
But that's the best thing about athletes. Like, they don't know. And it's all just follow the leader. Like, well, that guy's doing it, so I guess I'm going to do it. And he had a good game. He had 20 talks last year, so now I'm going to start doing it.
Matty Nickel made shakes. He was our trainer for the Leafs. He made these shakes in between periods. 5 years later.
But then you
he's
wonder,
got this company that's gigantic.
But, and I'm not saying Nickel was doing this, but you wonder why some guys get caught taking roids and PEDs because they'll drink anything that someone hands them. Yeah. Hey, drink this, it'll help you play better.
Yeah.
And then they test positive for some PED, and it's like, I don't know what the hell I took.
Believe me, I played in Russia. You take the blue pill and the green pill, you grew an eyebrow by the second period. Like it was,
but man, do you play well.
Your legs fell.
You got
like
a horn growing out of your helmet after the second, but you're playing great.
Like it was, there was, you're right, there are things that go on. And then you talk about, those are the legal things, not even, you know, guys get involved in other stuff.
Are they legal?
Well, technically.
They're on the border of legal, but yeah, I hear you. Then you really go outside.
Guys can't do that anymore. The game is different now. We'll get back into it.
All right, we'll get back into it. Race coming up. Jerry's percentages. We're tracking the Nationals-Cubs games. It was nice enough for Steven Strasburg to actually show up and pitch this afternoon because as of yesterday, he was under the weather and simply couldn't go. Keep you updated on that. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.